Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means Go Out into the Deep, a one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Good afternoon. Welcome. I'm Rita Hauck-Lane, your host for the next hour. I'm very happy to be here with you. So thank you for joining me. And I hope you'll stick with me for the whole hour. It's, there's a lot going on in the world today. And so we have a few things to talk about, and also a couple of things to my job, I think, is to encourage you, to help you see the hope that comes from our faith, and to really keep our eyes on Jesus instead of on, obviously we can't deny and ignore things going on in the world, but we can face them with a certainty and sometimes even a joy, because Papa John Paul II said that, evil always destroys itself, and it does. It always does. So we can be assured of that, and that's what I'm here for, I think, because I have been through a lot in my life. I've experienced a lot of things, both good and bad, and sin and no sin, and this and that and everything, and just like you, so I just hope I can encourage you. We're going to focus a bit on some current affairs, but also on worry and anxiety and how to deal with that in this day and age. And I ask the Lord, please, Lord, bless our time together today. Come, Holy Spirit, come and dwell with us. Amen. I want to start with a praise psalm, and it's from today's Mass, and it's Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy, and your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for nothing is lacking to those who fear him. The great grow poor and hungry, but those who seek the Lord want for no good thing. And as you well know, when Scripture says fear the Lord, it's talking about respecting him and doing as he said, but it's also the being in awe of his great love and patience and devotion to us. Scripture says that even yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So he loves the sinners and the saints. He loves us all, and no matter what we've done or where we've been, he always has open arms for us if we want to come back. So just remember that. He loves you so much, so much. And I know sometimes it feels like, well, I hear that all the time, but what does that mean to me? But it's true. It's true. I've been leading a women's Bible study for, I think it's 24 years. And when you study the Bible that much, you really understand the great love that God has for us as his children, what Jesus did for us as his brothers and sisters, and He's our Savior, and the Holy Spirit lives in us. But do we listen to Him? Do we follow those promptings? You know, I was at a retreat, and someone said last year that we were in the Old Testament. It was the time of the Father. You know, the whole, all of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is a revelation of God's love, salvation history, all have what He has planned and put together and woven together all through history and leading up to Jesus Christ. Old Testament Scriptures refer to Jesus Christ and then Jesus Christ to the church. And so, but this priest was talking about how it's not only about the Father, but in the Old Testament, you really, really see the Father, okay? And in the New Testament, at least in the Gospels anyway, you see the Son, you see Jesus big time. Of course, they're connected, but that the focus. And then you get into, after the resurrection, you get into like the Acts of the Apostles and the church, the early church, until you get to Revelations. And that's, and they say, we now and the early church are in the time of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit has come at Pentecost, created the church, empowered the church, and empowered us and our baptism. So we have the Holy Spirit of God in us, encouraging us and prompting us, but we have to have a well-formed conscience. We need to know what God is like, what Jesus has told us that God is like, and who we are as those, as the children. We can't just do anything we want to do and expect it to be acceptable. We have to have some common values in union with the Lord that we live with and live for. And that keeps us, you know, cemented to Him. And we will be able to hear the Holy Spirit. And then we have the free will to cooperate, to be docile to the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit will speak to you in His own way. So anyway. Okay, my husband and I spent the weekend in the mountains of West Virginia. My brother-in-law and his wife bought a house that sits way up in the mountains and takes a while to get there, they have this glorious view of the mountains and valleys and for as far as the eye can see, pretty much. It's just glorious. Glorious. And that was the first time that we'd seen it. So we had a lovely time, mostly just relaxing and taking in the view. Our two puppies, so to speak, were playing, so to speak. German Shepherd and Little Papillon. They were trying to figure out how to play with each other. It was a funny thing to see. But I wanted to bring that up because when we're out in nature like that, we get into a stillness that is medicinal. It's healing. It speaks to our very souls. You know, we were talking about that with our in-laws about how, you know, you just want to sit there and watch and listen to nature and the big sky. I love big sky. I used to live out in Southern California, and I loved seeing forever with the sky, and I just love that. And we have that at the shore here. You go to the beach, anywhere in the beach, and you can see beautiful clouds, the sky, the water. Well, it's the same thing in the mountain. Big, beautiful sky, mountains, rivers. It's just really beautiful. And for me, anyway, my mother taught me at a very young age, and if Kevin and Jeff, my nephews, are listening, they'll know what I'm talking about. She would take us to the beach or someplace, you know, by a lake or whatever, and she would talk about the beauty of nature as, you know, God's creation, and look how beautiful it is. And he gave it to us as a gift. And whenever I'm around anything beautiful in nature, my heart just swells with joy. It just lifts my spirits because of the beauty that I'm looking at. And I know that my God created that, not just to create it, but to bring us joy, you know. And that's why it's important for us to take care of the environment too. But anyway, I wanted to read to you Romans 1:20. Ever since the creation of the world, God's eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things he has made. I'm going to repeat it. Romans 1:20. Ever since the creation of the world, God's eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things he has made. So that, it goes on to say that those who don't recognize him in the beauty of his creation, whose hearts are not drawn to him when they are out in that beauty, have no excuse, because it's so obvious that this is done for our benefit, and it makes your heart sing. Sunsets, sunrises, flocks of birds, you know, little lambs playing in the field. I mean, it's just beautiful. And I just, you know, that is the evidence that we have an amazing creator, and it's God our Father. And so I wanted to just share that with you because it was a lovely time for us. Now I want to change horses in the middle of the stream a little bit. Monsignor in the previous hour talked about the Olympic opening ceremonies and all of the disappointment, anger, and upset upsetting things that have happened as a result of it. I'm not going to focus on it, but I do want to say one thing, and that is Bishop Barron said we needed to stand up and have our voices heard, because after all of the outrage, you know, the powers that be in France were trying to backpedal and say, oh, no, you misunderstood. It was not a mockery of the Last Supper. It was a depiction of, and I'm not even going to tell you what it is, a piece of artwork that, if you want to find out what it is, you can Google it very easily, but I'm not going to give you that information because it's an artwork that has a lot of lewd and, you know, offensive to some people, to Christians, offensive things in it. And it's not, they try to say that that's what it was depicting, but it was, it's not, because at the Olympics, you could see it was a long table with certain people, you know, behind the table, spread out in pretty much kind of in the exact same way, not quite some of them, but most of them were in the exact same way as in the artwork of the Last Supper. And in the artwork they say it really was attached to, there's people all over the place. They're on the table, they're behind the table, in front of the table, they're all over the place. It's a group of people with like a table in there somewhere. And that wasn't what it was at all. So I just want to recommend that you don't talk too much about it, because it kind of, you know, discussing with people in a constructive way and that sort of thing is good. Writing letters to the International Olympic Committee, writing letters to the President of France and whoever else in France you feel inclined to write to, but the most important thing that we need to do is pray, because we are seeing That had nothing to do with sports. It was supposed to be an indication of tolerance and global unity and all that sort of thing. People from all walks of life there, but it really didn't come across as people of all walks of life. And so therefore, it was sad to see it. But nonetheless, don't give too much. I heard a few years ago about the danger of talking focusing too much on things that the evil things or the challenging things that are going on in the world that are troubling, because it kind of gives it a kind of a, it's not intended, but a kind of a glorification of it. If we focus on it so much that we forget to pray and we forget to do what we can do constructively and that sort of thing. So try not to focus on it too much and pray against the things that are going on in the world that are troubling. The violence, the disrespect for Christianity, all those sort of things. Pray against that in the name of Jesus, and pray for the Holy Spirit and for the beauty of the Lord to become more present in the world and for people to realize that His way is the better way, even though they don't want to admit that. But it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to discuss it and that sort of thing, but don't forget to do the good things that need to be done to deal with it. Okay? I would like to focus a little bit today on worry and anxiety. There's so many things going on today in people's lives, and also politically, internationally, church, social. There's so many different things going on. It's a really challenging time, and part of the problem is that we are so inundated through the news and stuff that we are losing the ability to see the good in the world. And we really have to seek it out, because there's more good than evil, more good than the challenging things. And so please, let's try to focus a little bit on the good. Because, I mean, like I follow a Facebook page on Seattle City, New Jersey. And in there, over the last couple of weeks, there's been a number of posts thanking someone who helped them, strangers who helped them when they had a problem. You know, a woman fell off a bike, you know, just a number of different things. And strangers, complete strangers, helping others. That is what we do, folks. That is what we do. Most people I know are ready, whether they're believers or not, at least in this country, are ready to run and help somebody if they need it. Some of the younger people, sometimes they seem like they have learned from our culture not to be engaged with other people. You know, have your little safe spot at home with your TV and your family and your internet, and don't venture out too much in the social world, because you get hurt there. I'm too busy to be out taking care of anybody else or being a good friend with somebody else. I've got to insulate myself from that. And that is disastrous. It's disastrous, because we can't isolate ourselves and be healthy, because we are made to be in community with each other, and that's not just community at home. Okay? So if you're a person who's been kind of stuck in your house for a while and it's not because of health issues, get out. Get out. There's people out there laughing. There's people out there happy. There's people out there celebrating. They're not all fighting. There's not all violence everywhere. There's not, complaining and moaning and groaning all the time out there. There's a lot of really good, wonderful things happening out there. And, you know, celebrate that. Join in their laughter. I love hearing people laugh after all we've been through since COVID. It's a great joy to me to hear people laugh. I rejoice with their laughter. So anyway, a friend of mine and I were talking over the weekend. She has two really serious challenges going on in her life right now. And, you know, you don't know what the future's going to hold. It can go a number of ways, and it can become very worrisome because there are serious and important things. And something happened, and it was like the straw that broke the camel's back. She was overwhelmed with sadness, overwhelmed with everything. It was just so much. It was like the icing on the cake. And she basically kind of shut down a little bit. She went to bed and she stayed there for a few hours because she needed to just be, you know, quiet and away from everything that she's been worrying about and concerned about. So I'm doing this show a little bit for her because I love her very much. And we had a nice conversation. We talked, you know, we're going to come up with a battle plan to help with her, the anxieties that she's having. And she's a wonderful Christian woman who is really full of faith. But it was one of those things, you know, even the most strongest, even saints can kind of be crushed sometimes by things that are going on. You know, we're not immune. We're not immune. But the Lord is there. And the Lord lifts us up. Okay? So I want to talk about that now and over the next half hour. So, let's see. I've got a little bit of time. So I want to start, though, with today's gospel from the Gospel of St. Luke. And, I'm going to look in my Magnificat because it's small. It's easy to carry around. Alrighty. And a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. He had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do all the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." So let's read this. And I'll put my name in there, because I have in the past. Maybe you can put your name in there as I read this. The Lord said to her in reply, "Rita, Rita, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Your sister, Wendy, has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." All right? When we read scripture, we should insert ourselves into those stories as if he's talking directly to us. There's nothing wrong with it, because then it sometimes can give us a perspective that we don't have just by reading the story. The stories in scripture are eternal because they have eternal messages in them. This story meant to me when I was 24 years old is very different than what it means to me today. And so that's why it's important for us to try to put ourselves, our own situations, into these gospel and biblical readings. So here we have Martha doing what she's supposed to do. She's the doer. I've got people to entertain. The Lord is here. Back then, just as now, you know, people rejoiced around a table, around food and drink. And so that was her job, you know, being the older sister. I've got to get this together. I've got to make sure everyone has a good time. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And if you are a woman who's like that, or even one who isn't like that, but feels responsible to do that, you know what she's feeling. You know what she's feeling. How you know, I'm behind in what I'm trying to get done. I want everyone to have a good time, and this isn't working. Oh, that flopped, or, you know, and it's, time is short. People are going to be here any minute, you know, that sort of thing. It can be very stressful if we don't have the right attitude, and if we overplanned things in a way that really didn't meet our schedule. So you can understand Martha. She needs her sister to get up and help her. I mean, I would probably feel the same way, right? So anyway, so it's not that she's busy. It's not that Martha is so busy. It's that she's so worried and anxious about what she's got to get done that she has completely lost sight of the greatest guest in her home. And how he always solves all these problems. She went to him, but it was after she had already gotten herself into a frenzy. Maybe if she had started with him, things would have been different. And of course, you know, Mary, I'm sure, the younger sister, probably was intending to get up and help her sister, but saw that she was doing pretty well on her own, running around doing things. But then the truth came out, Martha wasn't doing so well. So anyway, Jesus, however, he does not rebuke her. He doesn't stand up against her and say, hey, you know, get over this, you know, you just got to relax, you know. No, he corrected her with gentleness and a friendly, familiar kind of thing that you do with a friend, with someone you love, you really care for. That's what we should do. When somebody is like, all bent out of shape about something, let's not be harsh with them. Let's not correct them harshly. Let's be gentle with them and say, hey, relax, relax. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And share that with them and help them to understand that they've got somebody with them that's going to help them and assist them and believes in them. And that's what Jesus does. He believes in you. He believes in us. And he's there for us. So anyway, I have to take a quick break. I hope you'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about anxieties and stress and the rest of the story. Stick with me. Thanks.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for sticking it out with me. I want to make a little comment about that commercial, though. Everyone that works with this network, except for one person, does it voluntarily. None of us get paid at all. Our payment is being able to do something to help spread the gospel, to encourage, to help make, you know, give some joy and hope to those who need it. But I just want to tell you that with your prayer support and your financial support, we can do a lot. And it's a team effort. You're just as much a part of the team as us who are here on the air. We can't do it without you. And we certainly couldn't do it without your prayers. So thank you very much. Thank you so much for all of your support. Because, you know, the Lord sees these things. And no matter how small or the contribution, no matter how small the prayer, the Lord hears it. The Lord hears it. And he's pretty sad right now, I would imagine, because he's given humankind so many things in so many ways to have beautiful lives. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's given us truths. He's given us the way, the best way to live. And if we all did live that way, there would be a lot of peace in the world. It'd be a lot of good things. Unfortunately, there's people who are spread lies about Christianity, spread lies about us being hateful, where we're definitely not hateful. We're frustrated at times. We don't understand some things, you know, but nonetheless. And also, he has given us life. He gives us a good life now, even with heartbreaking challenges, and he wants us to live forever with him in the next life. So when he sees what's going on in various places in the world, the wars, the violence, the emotional violence, you know, it makes him sad, because if you've studied scripture, you know that he gets angry when things have gone so far that we've hardened our hearts so much that there's no softening them anymore, that all his efforts are in vain. So it's very sad to him to give so much and to bless so much, and then to have us as a people's, as the world, turn against him. I know I'm talking to the choir here. I know that if you're listening to this, you're, you know, in one way or another, hoping to be part of the solution to the things that are going on in the world that are distressing. So God bless your efforts. God bless your efforts. And again, thank you for supporting the station. Anyway, so we were looking at Martha and Mary, and Martha, she goes to Jesus with her problems, just like we should, just like we should. But then he tells her what she needs to do to improve the situation. Okay, it's not that she's so busy; it's that she's kind of lost her focus. He doesn't rebuke her; he lovingly tells her, you know, that, you know, you're missing what's truly important here. You know, I'm here, and if you seek me first, all of those other things, you know, will come together. Okay, so she didn't take time with him first or even give up her work to sit down and take time with him for stress relief. So a lot of that, it just shows you that, you know, spend time with the Lord when you're under you're anticipating stress and while you're in stress, because he will help you. He has promised that he will, and he will. Okay, so I encourage you and myself, of course, to take time to be still with the Lord. Scripture says, be still and know that I am God. If we are still, he will show us and prove to us, so we will know that he is God. Be still and know. And then we will be less anxious and worried about things, because we will know that he is with us. Okay, and he can lead us and give us a little thought, maybe you should try this, maybe you should try that. And trust me, he does that. Also, we have, some chapels in the area that have Eucharistic adoration, where the consecrated body of Christ is in a monstrance, and you can sit and you can just be quiet in that space. It is so peaceful. If you're not careful, you can fall asleep in there. You know, so just go in and feel the peace of the Lord. Feel the peace of the Lord. Before I became Catholic, I would go into a Catholic church, and I could sense a peacefulness, a beauty. I was uncomfortable, but I could sense this, you know, something special in there. And later on, I found out it was Jesus present in the tabernacle in the church, or exposed in a monstrance. It was Jesus's true presence there, which I didn't know what it was at the time, but now I know. It was different from my church. It was different. You could sense his presence there. I'm not saying that he's not in the other churches. I'm not saying that. Please don't take it that way. But he is present in the Catholic Church in a special way, an unusual way, because of being in the Holy Eucharist, in the communion, okay? So anyway, even if you aren't Catholic, try to find a church that has a chapel that exposes the Holy Eucharist. And if you need some quiet time and just peace of mind, just go in there and sit. You don't have to say a word. You don't have to kneel. You don't have to, you know, anything. Just sit and relax and get some peace from the Lord. Okay? Did you know that the phrase, be not afraid, fear not, those kind of, cast your cares, all those kind of things are 365 times in the Bible. 365 times in the Bible. One scripture for every day of the year. The Lord is trying to tell us something, and we should listen. Fear not, for I am with you. There's so many verses. If you read the Old Testament, obviously the New Testament most people are familiar with, or I should say Christians are familiar with, but go back and look in the Old Testament and see how God was always trying to keep his people close to him, and how he would say, don't be afraid, I will go with you. Well, he's saying that to us today. Don't be afraid, I will go with you. Don't be afraid, I will go with you. And because he is with us. Don't be afraid. So I wanted to read to you. I have on my wall at home two quotes by St. Francis de Sales. One of them I'm going to read to you right now, and I'm going to read an article that was written in addition to it. And this is what he says, St. Francis de Sales. Do not look forward to the trials and crosses of this life and fear. Rather, look to them with full confidence that as they arise, God, to whom you belong, will deliver you from them. He has guided and guarded you this far in life. If you but hold fast to his hand, he will lead you safely through all trials. Whenever you cannot stand, he will carry you lovingly in his arms. It goes on from there, but I wanted to make a comment on here. First of all, you've gotten this far because he's been with you, whether you knew it or not. And if he's brought you this far, he's going to keep on taking care of you. And it says, hold fast to his hand and he will lead you safely through all trials. It doesn't say he will remove all trials. It says he will lead you safely through all trials. He's not going to walk beside you. He's going to walk ahead of you, holding your hand and say, come this way with me. Come, let's go into this trial together. Trust me. Whenever you cannot stand, because sometimes there are horrible things that can happen in life, terrible losses, terrible challenges and catastrophes. And sometimes you can't stand. You don't have the strength. You don't even have the faith. But he will carry you lovingly in his arms. So St. Francis de Sales, do not look forward to the trials and crosses of this life in fear. Rather, look to them with full confidence that as they arise, God, to whom you belong, you are a daughter and son or son of the Most High God. You belong to him, and he will deliver you from them. He has guided and guarded you this far in life. Hold fast to his hand, and he will lead you safely through all trials. Whenever you cannot stand, he will carry you lovingly in his arms. Here's the rest of it. Do not look forward to what may happen tomorrow. The same eternal Father who cares for you today will take good care of you tomorrow and every day of your life. Either he will shield you from suffering, or he will give you the unfailing strength to bear it. Be at peace then and put aside all useless thoughts, vain dreads, and anxious imaginations. So I'm going to read this article to you real quickly because I have a few. I want to encourage you because these are the things that have encouraged me. I have, as I told you, right now, thank God, my life is pretty joyful, you know, but I have had my share of sorrows and tragedies and health challenges, et cetera, et cetera. And disappointments, huge disappointments. So these kind of things are what encouraged me. So I'm sharing them with you, hopefully, by the light of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, they will speak to your heart too. This is an article that I got. I don't even know. It's been a while. The title is, You Belong to God the Father, So Don't Be Afraid of the Future. And it's by Deacon Michael Forrest. He has a blog, and it came from 2021, this article. Be not afraid, he starts it with. Fear and anxiety about a possible future event or circumstance is often a greater suffering. The fear and anxiety is often a greater suffering than the suffering we endure when and if the feared event or circumstance actually occurs. We work ourselves up so much in fear and anxiety over what might happen. And I've done this myself. And then when it happens, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be, or great solutions come up to help deal with it in a way that I didn't expect. And sometimes it's as bad as I expected, and I'm a crying mess, but I'm praying over it. And it's not as, you know, when you have prayer and you have the Lord with you, it's not as bad as trying to do it yourself. So anyway, he goes on and says, so sometimes the worry and the anxiety is worse than the suffering that actually comes later that you were worried about. Why? This is important. This is key. Because when we are anticipating the future, we are not yet being given the grace that God will provide when that event or circumstance actually occurs. Grace, like the manna in the desert, is given on a daily or even moment-by-moment basis. As we live out and experience our lives, it is not provided for the future. Okay? We are unhappy or worried or anxious or sad about something that is coming in the future or may come in the future. And we can't have peace of mind because the grace for that event is not present today. You can bank on the grace being there when you need it, if you want it. He has promised that he's with us always, and he will provide. He always does. But we have to say, Lord, I need you to help me with this. Lord, please come and be with me. Give me your power to deal with this. Give me the comfort I need as I go through this. Okay? So it's the grace. We have not yet been given the grace that God will provide when the event or circumstance actually occurs. You can't have like some dollars in your hand today for an expense later that you don't know how much is going to be needed. It comes at the time. You can deal with it at the time. Okay? So when we, here he goes on, So when we focus too much on the future and enter into anxiety, we are essentially torturing ourselves or allowing the promptings of the adversary, the evil one, to lead us to torture ourselves. It is at these times that we must exercise mental and spiritual discipline, not walking the path of the future on our own. We must pray for God's protection against such temptations and trust in his loving kindness and continual presence, that he will carry us through. This is why, and I'm going off script here, this is why the Bible says that we can, if we trust in his loving kindness and we cling to him, remember I talked to you about clinging, sticking with him, no matter how we feel or how hurt we are, sticking with him, he will carry us through. And the scripture says, all through scripture, the Lord tells his people, the prophets to tell his people, tell them to remember what I've done for them. Remember and teach it to your children. So that's what we need to do. If we remember what he has done before, and we it allows us to trust him now and get us through. He will. And the article goes on, and even if we do respond less than perfectly when difficult situations actually occur, we must remember that God uses such trials to refine and build us up, not to destroy us. Okay, like St. Peter on the water. If we begin to sink into the tumultuous waves because of fear and weakness, we have to but call on Jesus, and he will save us because he is trustworthy and he loves us. So, if we, like Peter, take our eyes off of him and see the big storms around us and become overwhelmed with them, we have but to just call on Jesus, and he will save us because he is trustworthy and he loves us. And he will do that one way or the other. He might send a friend. He might get a phone call. He might allow somebody to be home when you need them. He might whisper in your ear. He might give you a scripture. He might reveal himself in a special way in the Holy Eucharist or during your prayer time. He always, always, always will save us if we seek him. And the article goes on, we see this echoed in sacred scripture. And this is from Matthew 6. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Okay. And then Matthew 10, are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them, a sparrow, falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. God knows us so well from creating us that he knows how many hairs are on our head. Sit down, try to count like even 1 inch of a square inch of your hair on your head. It's not much fun. And then in 2 Timothy, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Power and love and self-control. We have power because we are daughters and sons of the Most High God. Baptized into his kingdom with power of the Holy Spirit. He loves us so much. Sometimes when things happen to us that rip our hearts out, that are so sad, so difficult, we don't think we can go on. We wonder, how can he love us and allow us to suffer like this? Well, we don't have those answers, but we do know that if we persevere with him, we see the results of his being with us later, if we don't experience it at the time. And many times we do experience it at the time. So, don't be afraid. You know, Mother Teresa used to say, yesterday is already gone. Tomorrow is not yet here. Today is all we have. So instead of worrying about having grief about yesterday or worrying about tomorrow, let us begin to live this day. Today is all we have. Let us begin. Let us begin whatever it is we need to do today. Let us trust the Lord for tomorrow and let go of yesterday, the things that haunt us, that we, unless we haven't dealt with them. You know, but let go of tomorrow. Live today in union with the Lord. Dwelling on tomorrow robs us, y'all. It robs us of the joy of today and our ability to live today fully. You know, if we're all so worried about what's going to happen at the end of the week, are we really living the abundant life that the Lord has called us to? Where we can have peace of mind because we trust him, where we can be open to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Okay, that's next weekend, but today I want to talk to you about this, or I want to show you this, or somebody over there needs you to do this. Can you please go do that for them? If we're in the moment, the present moment, we can hear his voice. We can see what's going on around us. We're aware of what's going on around us, aware of what needs prayer, what needs a friendly voice or a helping hand, who needs some groceries. I mean, there's all kinds of things. The one day, you know, he says, later I'm going to read this to you. This is in Matthew. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you besides. Seek first the kingdom of God. God is to be first. The Lord is to be our Lord. He is to be our King. He is our supreme politician. He is the one that rules over us with love. God is our Father. He rules over us with love like the best parent in the world. Everything that he has told us to live is told out of love, not for servitude. It's because he loves us so much he wants to hold us, like it said in the other thing about holding us in his arms. He will pick you up and carry you in his arms. And so, we have to let him. We have to want him, you know. And so Matthew 6 goes on. First, I'll repeat that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you besides. Here it is. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil. This is Jesus speaking. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. I and you together will take care of tomorrow. Okay? Sufficient for a day, this day right now. Let's focus on that and get through today. One day at a time. Okay? And then, hold on a second. There's a really good book that's out there. It's called The Sacrament of the Present Moment. And it focuses on how very important it is for us to be where we are, aware of where we are, in tune with the Lord, seeking His face. If I'm at work, be at work. Get that, focus on what it is that you need to do. You know, pray first, of course, but focus on it. Don't be thinking about, you know, what you're doing tonight or whatever. No, think about what you're doing and get it done. If you're at home and you need to rest, rest. Okay? If you're at home and you need to be cooking or watching the kids or doing whatever, do it. But be present. Don't be thinking about what you've got to do tomorrow. There's a time for that. You sit down and say, okay, I've got to organize my life for tomorrow. You make a list or whatever you do to prepare for tomorrow. That's fine. But don't be letting it interfere with you living today in the fullness of the Lord with all the things that you need to do. Okay? And don't forget Him. Never forget Him. So I want to read a couple more scriptures because scriptures are very, very, very powerful. They're the Word of God, and there's power in them, and it's good to memorize them. But this is Isaiah 40. They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on eagle's wings. They will run and not grow weary, walk and not grow faint. Okay? They that wait on the Lord. In other words, wait until tomorrow for tomorrow. Wait until the weekend or until that conference or until that touchy phone call you have to make. Pray. Hope. And don't worry, as Padre Pio says. But wait for that time. Don't take it on. Okay? And then I'm going to leave you with this. 1 Peter 5, cast all your worries upon the Lord because He cares for you. Be sober and vigilant. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that your fellow believers around the world are undergoing the same sufferings. The God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory through Christ Jesus, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you after you have suffered this a while. Okay? He is there. He's preparing you for a victory. The evil one is trying to beat you up and depress you and cause you to fall away. Remember, the Lord Himself will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. God bless you. I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.